Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Gentlemen,
happy Tuesday, Jay.
Merry Tuesday indeed. How is your Tuesday, Timothy?
Oh, very, very Tuesday-ish, in a kind of between Monday and Wednesday kind of way.
That is superb.
Like only a Tuesday really can be.
Well, yeah. Enough of this sexy calendar chat. Let's put our metaphorical hands in and let's pod on three. One, two, three.
Pod. Oh.
Hello and welcome to the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, the podcast about rugby doesn't take itself or the game too seriously. This is our special midweek international edition, which is a little bit more midweeky than normal and definitely more internationally. I'm here with Phil. Hello, Philip.
Hello, G.
And of course, there is Tim. Hello, Timothy.
Hello from the Egg Chasers TMO shipping container.
Excellent. All aboard then. Now, why don't we just get straight into the international roundup, and I want to bring up one player in particular because I think this could turn into a little bit of a crusade. I love this idea, but it's all linked to one guy. Can you guess who this guy might be? I'll give you a clue. He plays for Worcester, and I've spoken at length to Tim about him.
I imagine you're referring to Peak Teo. Big Ben Teo.
BBT. Well, funny you should mention BBT because I thought, every time that we have a new Peak Teo moment, because I thought Peak Teo was before he came over to Leinster, from Leinster.
Well, I guess, so Peak Teo could really have been when he won the grand final with the Rabbitohs.
Maybe. See, I'd have said Peak Teo originally was when no one had really seen him play. He's got a big reputation and he's in Leinster, but he'll never play for England.
Yeah.
But then he went on tour with England, so that was Peak Teo.
Yeah.
And then,
but he didn't play, so he toured without playing, really.
Yeah. And then he did play for England.
Yes.
And then he scored for England.
Yes.
And this week, he might actually start for England.
It is a possibility.
So with that in mind, I've come up with this. Do you like that, Tim?
I can't hear that.
Let me do it one more.
The TMO shipping container.
One more time.
Have you re-engineered the Thomas Waldron diesel horn?
Oh, this is so much more.
Okay.
This is so much more. Do you like that, Tim?
I can't hear it.
You can't
I
hear
it? I can't hear any of the music or any of the sounds. I can only hear your voices.
No way.
Well, you'll have to listen back to this pod on Wednesday.
Oh, I can't wait.
To enjoy it.
All right. So
Tomorrow morning, I'll listen.
Okay, so what you're hearing now is a big horn. Right, this is the horn we're going to use every time a new Peak Teo moment is achieved. Do you know, like when men strike oil?
Yeah.
But when I was investigating horns, right, big horn on Google.
I was investigating
big horns, right?
Yeah. Wait, no. Is this a not safe for work moment?
Maybe. Big horns are fine, right? Okay. Wait for it. All right. Okay, so it turns out these horns are for NHL teams, and every time their team scores, they've got their own set of horns with their own dance music attached to it. I want these for rugby grounds. So not only should Peak Teo have his own manly horn, but every time a team scores now and doesn't go up to the TMO, they should do this.
Do you want teams to have different songs, or do you want individual players to have their own trademark songs?
I think initially we could have individual teams. So as soon as Solomona dots down again,
you were doing pretty much just that when he did dot down.
I think it's brilliant.
That song, I can't hear the music you're playing, but I know that song just from that. It's like a little kind of weird game that I'm playing on my own. Kerncraft.
That's the one.
Yeah.
So JB sings 90s, 2000s dance hits, and Tim has to guess.
So that's what I'm saying. Every team in the NHL has their own horn, and every year they update it with a horn followed by a new dance tune. Isn't that amazing?
It is. I know that. I think it's the Toronto, whatever ice hockey team they have there in Toronto, in Canada. Pretty sure I'm right in saying that when they have their horn go off for a goal, they have Fratelli's Chelsea Dagger, or at least they did in recent years. Other teams have Song 2 by Blur. There's that Kerncraft one.
There's loads of them. They're amazing.
Do you think it's a little bit gimmicky, perhaps?
No, not gimmicky enough, if anything.
Maybe that's because you're Welsh and you're like DJ Spoonie on a Friday night.
Yeah, I would like pyrotechnics and then ticker tape as well. And also, you can get people on, like, you know, community payback schemes to pick up all the tape afterwards. It's a win-win for everyone.
Yeah, and actually, we saw on Sunday when we went to sale, just their dot matrix screen that they've got is not a high-quality installation.
Have you noticed this, Tim?
I have, yeah.
Get loud. No. When they score a try, three letters, T-R-Y, what does the screen say?
Goal!
To best of my knowledge, there's never been a game of football played on the AJ Bell pitch. Ever. Ever.
Yep.
So
it's pretty poor.
Pretty.
Anyway, this is the midweek international podcast.
No, it's not. It's the midweek sale and horn podcast, surely.
Well, on international matters, there was some European rugby champions or European rugby cup. What's it called?
European Nations Rugby Championship
Cup Shield.
Let me bring it up.
Didn't Georgia absolutely pumped Germany?
The 2017 Rugby Europe Championship, the premier rugby competition below the Six Nations. So you are quite correct, Tim. Georgia put 50 points on Germany, beat them 50 points to 6. So this means it's the result for the game that we're going to, Romania hosting Georgia. It might not be much of a game.
Yeah, it's...
Oh, it'll be a hell of a game with 100-odd egg chasers out there on a bit of a shindig.
Yes, with in the VIP section with the free bar,
of course. What could possibly go wrong? Shall we take this a different way? Do you want to talk about the Lions quickly?
Go on.
Well, I believe there's some development here because we've gone from when the squads were announced for Six Nations, got through the European Cup games, and now we've got 2 weeks worth of Six Nations games under our belts.
Hard evidence.
Now, I have been doing a small project compiling names of all the backs. Only the backs, I might add, because I think they're easier to kind of, you know, work out. And then seeing who I would predict would be in the Lions team should it be picked tomorrow with the squad.
Okay.
So
rattle through it, and me and Phil will see where we stand and if we agree, disagree.
Yeah.
So, fullback, Hogg, Halfpenny.
I would personally put Brown ahead of Halfpenny, but
I think there's other players that could play fullback that I would rather play fullback than Halfpenny. I don't rate him as a Lions starter or squad member as it stands.
Okay.
Yes.
Three wings: Williams, Daly, Seymour.
What is this only based on the Six Nations, or is this based on Six Nations and performances before that?
Performances before, but also incorporating Six Nations information, if you like. So what I've seen from the Six Nations.
Because I would probably one or both of Watson and Noel.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Williams, Seymour. Well, actually, I'm going to jump back one to fullback. Based on what we've seen in the Six Nations, I thought Rob Kearney was outstanding in the last game. Yeah,
he was.
And he was really good against Scotland. So I'd put him in, and I would go Williams, Seymour, and probably Noel.
Probably Noel on the strength.
Williams, Seymour, and Noel. So you wouldn't go with Daly?
I'd
have him in my squad.
I'd probably put him in that Bolter category.
Okay.
So I would have him in my squad, but yeah, because he's such a
versatile player.
Yeah.
Now, just to make things easier, I've only picked players in the positions that they are playing for their national teams.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So for centres, it's Henshaw, Williams, Farrell, JJ.
Okay.
JJ, I don't think, is playing well enough currently.
But he's got some form and some history.
He's got credit in the bank.
Well, here's the thing. Get rid of JJ, replace him with someone else, okay? Whoever you want.
Daly.
Well, or Hugh Jones, possibly.
Yeah. The reason he's in there as well is because Henshaw, Williams and Farrell are all really 12s.
Henshaw can play 13. He's done it for Connor a number of times. He can play 13 or 15.
10s, Russell and Sexton.
Farrell.
Well, if Farrell's a centre...
This is where we all start to get a bit confused.
Yeah, this makes it tricky, because where do you define Farrell? So if you're saying Farrell is in as a centre, I'm okay with that. 10 is tricky, because Ford hasn't been kicking, which is a must for me.
Yeah.
But Russell hasn't been kicking, really, because Laidlaw is kicking, and when he has kicked, he's missed a kick under the sticks. But Bigger equally hasn't been kicking. And Sexton hasn't played a single game. So from all of that, I guess you're going to have to go for Paddy Jackson.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, so when I say it's involving Six Nations data, or what you see in the Six Nations, not data as Phil describes, boring old data.
But data is not boring, JB.
It's like, well, has anyone played so far so much better than Sexton that you take him above Sexton?
No.
So you're basically playing to be Sexton's understudy, right?
Yes.
Well... you're playing to get there instead of Sexton, not to be his understudy. No, I think Farrell will be starting 10.
You think?
New Zealand.
I would also have Farrell as my starting 10.
Scrum-offs, Murray and Webb. No, you can pick another one here as well.
Which is difficult because Youngs hasn't been playing well and Laidlaw is now...
Just leave it with that.
...badly injured. So, yeah, I'm okay with that. And who are your wild cards?
North, Zeebo and Tao.
Tao is a wild card.
Mm.
He does offer... So if you're going to have someone like Henshaw, who can be quite direct, he does offer that. He probably offers something different to just about anyone else. Yeah. I'd actually like to throw one of the Scottish centres in. Either Hugh Jones or Dunbar, I like as a big, strong 12 who can also handle. I'd probably have Jones ahead of Tio.
Would you? I mean, again, watching Six Nations, do you think Jones played better than Tio against Wales?
Well, we've only seen... a cumulative total of about 16 minutes of Ben Tio.
Wait, did you...
Peak Tio.
What? I'll play that so much if he goes on the Lions.
This is just remarkable. My mind is blowing. Somehow, I've just got this funny feeling JB's going to be sat there going, hear me now, believe me later, Ben Tio's a Lions.
Hey, if he's good enough, and I'll get on the bandwagon all day long. He's got his own horn.
You're like Donald Trump in the way you just shift. You're a shapeshifter.
Donald Trump with a horn. That is... not annoying, is it?
It's very annoying.
Yeah, so there you go.
That is just about the highest compliment you can pay JB, I think, in his head.
Yeah, so...
very good.
Very good indeed. Shall we go through some games then, gents?
Yes, that sounds like a good idea to me.
Yeah, so there's three matches this weekend, and I've just got a different method to kind of approach each of them. So England-Italy, I don't think we need to spend a great deal of time on, other than maybe let's try and not necessarily anticipate what Eddie Jones will do, but ask what we want him to do.
Okay.
In terms of selection. So what... because Italy just... they're just not worth really talking about.
Agreed. Okay, so what are you wanting to see from England? Who are you wanting to see from England?
A different centre combination, because I think, as we just touched on, Jonathan Joseph hasn't played particularly well. Mm-hmm. Well, hasn't done anything glaringly wrong either.
No.
And George Ford, I mean, he was good against Wales, but I'd just like to see Farrell with the 10 shirt and BBT take it to another level of peak TO, perhaps. And Elliot Daly maybe slightly... BBT, Pete Tio, and then Elliot Daly at 13.
I'm a little bit conflicted. I probably wouldn't do that. Part of me really wants to see Tio start at 12, and part of me really likes the impact. So Jones has been calling his bench the finishers, and I have enjoyed the impact that they have made. So the Tio position I'm a bit conflicted on. Actually, I would, in this game, I actually want to see Elliot Daly at 15.
Mm.
Daly, Noel, May as my back three.
He doesn't really play 15 for Wasps, though, does he?
He did a bit at the start of his career, but he's not really played wing for Wasps.
Yeah, no. He's played more 15 than wing.
Yeah, definitely.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm pretty happy with him on the wing.
I'm also happy with him on the wing.
Very fast, good finisher. You know, fullback's fine, but I think there are other options there. Interesting on Ben Tail. I tend to feel a little bit like you, Phil, that you leave him on the bench, actually, for that finishing, that impact.
Yeah, possibly.
Because it is scary when, you know, Jamie George comes on and Tio and, you know, all the other cohort. Having said that, have you boys ever heard of how they managed to get two pilots into a rocket to do space exploration?
Is this the logistics of getting them through the hole? Did they oil them up and slide them in there?
How they managed their ego?
No.
Well, I wonder if there's something going on here. I wonder if he's labelled them finishers because no one wants to be on the bench. So
yeah. Oh yeah. There is an element of that. Yeah. Definitely.
So when they were flying rockets for the first time, they got all the best pilots from the Air Force, and no one wanted to be the co-pilot. So they simply renamed co-pilot captain. So I wonder if there's a bit of that going on here.
Possibly. You just touched on the other, and probably more than anything in the back line, the one thing that I want to see changed.
Yes.
Hartley, you couldn't call him an impact off the bench. Mm. So if it wasn't for the captaincy, it would be Jamie George to start and Tommy Taylor or Luke Cowan-Dickie or
do you know what?
Anyone, really.
You say he doesn't make an impact. He made hell of an impact against Leinster.
What, by being on for 6 minutes?
Hey, well, that's...
And then a red card.
Exactly. So, you know, I think you're writing him off a bit too quick there, mate.
That's like a Mortal Kombat style finisher. Rather than... Yeah.
Finish him! No! Yeah. No!
So, just please, just pick Jamie George to start. Let's see what he can do for an hour rather than 20 minutes. And then that balance in the back row, there's room to tinker there.
Mm. Yeah, I'm still not sure exactly what changes I would make with the personnel available.
Yeah.
I would be tempted if Wood and Haskell are both fit to start the two of them.
Wood, maybe. Haskell, definitely.
And move Itoje into the second row, probably alongside Launchbury and then Laws as the impact.
Do you think? Would you like to see Itoje having a rest a little bit? Because, yes, we know he's great. He's been playing six quite a lot. I'd like to have a look at some more different combinations, not involving a Todd.
Launchbury played very well, but Laws has been outstanding.
Exactly.
They've both been outstanding, to be fair. Oh, yeah, there is even an argument. You say, well, drop a Todd to the bench and have him as a finisher.
Yeah, because he hasn't actually been playing that well for him.
No. Albeit he is playing in a different position.
Yeah. So maybe Itoje is the one that gets left out. Or he just goes all guns blazing as usual, racks up the wind, goes home.
Now the other one, well, there's two other ones that I want to talk about. Scrum half.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So I know, JB, you want to bring Ben Spencer in.
Yes, absolutely.
Would you start Kerr over Youngs?
What's the point?
Yes, I would.
Faster ball.
Yeah, no, I mean, I know the actual point.
Right, like,
no, I mean, I know the difference between the two scrum halves.
Okay.
But if you know exactly what both of them bring and you've decided to play a certain way...
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Then you're going to stick with that guy. It's not like you're bringing on Danny Kerr to see what he can do. That's my point.
Do you think Ben Youngs has played particularly well the last two games?
No, don't.
Do you think he deserves to retain his place? Yeah, it's not.
Do you see what I mean?
I understand your point, but do you think there is any reason why you should stick with Ben Youngs? So you know what you're going to get from Kerr. You know what you're going to get from, well, Youngs, I think, is a little bit more inconsistent.
This is all about Scotland into Ireland. This game is about.
Yeah, I just yeah. I think it's fine to swap them, but I don't think it necessarily warrants an experiment. Does that make sense?
Oh no,
it's not an experiment. Give the shit to Danny Care because Ben Youngs hasn't performed.
Yeah. So, or you use the Italy game to give Ben Youngs some form because he was so influential during the autumns.
Well, that is the other option. Same with the back row. You give Itoje another game and an easier game to bed in more. And then the other one is Mako's back. Does Mako start or is Mako a finisher?
He can do either.
He can't. Yeah.
I mean, like, it doesn't really matter, to be fair. I love the idea of the finishers. I think it's a great idea.
It sounds like the next Marvel franchise, doesn't it?
The finishers.
In fact, if anyone's going to
Complete Toffee, for instance.
Jamie George and a couple of others in like some sort of Marvel getup.
I know. I think I know the man.
Yeah.
The man who can do that.
Yeah, I like the sound of that. So I think we've talked enough about that game because it should be fairly routine for England.
Yeah. And most of what we've talked about will be kind of out of date and redundant once Eddie Jones picks his team.
Correct. The other games are particularly interesting, I think. So first of all, 2:25 on Saturday, Scotland host Wales. Now, Jay, as a Welshman...
Well, I'm a North Walian, actually.
Okay, as a North Walian.
As a North Walian, okay.
Who sometimes wants Wales to win, mostly wants Wales to win.
I prefer them, where possible, to do well.
Okay. How are you feeling about Wales' chances in this game?
Well, okay, so if I look at the two teams that played, Scotland versus Italy... Scotland versus France and Wales versus England. I think that Wales probably played the better of the two teams. I also think to play the way Wales did against England is probably a little bit too mentally draining. I mean, they put everything into that game. Now they win it, I think they kick on.
A huge lift.
Yeah, I think they kick on maybe to potential Grand Slam winners. Well, of course they're potential Grand Slam winners because they'd be unbeaten. But they didn't. And they expended a lot of energy. And I'm not sure they're going to have enough going to Murrayfield against that attack to beat them.
I kind of feel similar to that if Scotland were a full-strength side. Now, we sometimes talk about the kind of the consistency in key positions and the key position... Well, for consistency, the key positions we often talk about is the 8-9-10 balance.
Mm-hmm.
And you keep consistency across those three and... it's a very positive thing. Scotland have lost two out of those three. They've lost
Strauss and Laidlaw, yeah.
Yeah. Strauss and Laidlaw are both out for the whole Six Nations. So that
Strauss is out for the whole Six Nations?
Yeah.
Is this kidneys or something? Because apparently he had
It's his beard.
No. What happened to it?
Shaving accident.
Jesus Christ, that's awful.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that is massive. I think that is absolutely huge. And that, in my mind, tips the balance more in favour of Wales.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure Laidlaw's that massive.
Well, he's kicking his leadership and his control, his experience. I think it is.
Yeah, maybe.
I look at the back line and I think Wales, Williams, Webb get into a combined side. And then it's the two Scottish centres, the two of the Scottish back three, and the Scottish fly half I would pick out of the two. So... You would sort of look at that and think, well, Scotland have got a clear advantage in the back line, and they do, but the Welsh back row were outstanding against England and really made it difficult, and I think Scotland are not going to have a strong platform, despite the Grey twins of brothers in the middle. They're not going to have a good platform, and they got pumped up front against France, and I think I think they're going to struggle.
I'm not entirely as confident as you that, you know, it's as simple as saying the Scottish 10 is better, the Scottish centres are better. It depends what you want to do.
I was illustrating that Scotland do have an advantage out wide, but they're not going to get enough good ball.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think the gulf is massive out wide, but yeah, I think that is the issue.
I mean, if you want to, maybe as, you know, carriers and that kind of thing, Scotland aren't, you know, that well endowed, but... in terms of stealing the ball and slowing down breakdowns, they can put out three sevens, no problem, and sometimes they actually do that.
Yeah.
So the breakdown battle between them, Tipperick...
That'll be fascinating.
Of course, Warburton. Exactly.
Yeah.
So they're very evenly matched. Hello.
Sorry, I just had a TMO decision to make. It was a no try.
Good. No.
Good. Right decision, Tim.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Incredibly evenly matched. The Welsh front row aren't much. The Scottish front row aren't much.
Correct.
Without WP now, you're right.
Yeah.
Crikey, they are so
They're good
well
around
matched.
The park. They're good around the park. Let's give them credit for that, but set piece.
Yeah. So, question then. Who starts for the Welsh back row? Because the Welsh back row was outstanding against England.
The honest answer
but is... Faletau comes in.
Everyone
right?
talks about this Welsh front back row as if they are... They're very good, right? I think the individuals involved are very good. It's a strange thing to say. I don't think they have the right balance.
Well...
There's no perfect three, is there? They don't well, do everything.
I think you can get the right balance, but obviously it means four into three. And I think the right balance is probably, or the best balance, is probably Faletau, Moriarty at six with Warburton, or Tips at seven.
Yeah.
That feels like the best balanced. I
mean, they all do different things, don't they? In fact, no one in Six Nations has the skills that Tipperick has.
Yeah.
And on his day, Warburton, round the breakdown, is as good, if not... No, he is better than anyone in the Six Nations on his day.
Yeah.
Then you've got this destructive power of Moriarty, and then you've got to find a place for Faletau.
So what would you do?
It just doesn't work.
You're Rob Howley. Nice hair, nice hair, by the way.
Yeah. Rob Howley, you get on the phone and say, Warren, what do I do?
Yeah. Dear Warren... what does Rob Howley do?
Crikey. No, okay.
What a hard job. The answer is I'm not paid enough to know. You would say if Wales want to do this open, expansive game, which everyone goes on about, then yeah, you've got to pick Tipperick.
Yeah.
But the other three are so important.
Yeah.
Do you know what Faletau misses out?
Wow. You call him a finisher, please.
Yeah. Sorry, a finisher. Who has the least impact off the bench? Probably Warburton.
And then I'd say Moriarty.
Yeah.
So Moriarty is brilliant and destructive. I feel it's his defence is certainly the more destructive side than his running game. So those two probably have to start, and then you just naturally pick
Faletau.
Faletau.
Yeah, because if it's a toss up between Faletau and Tipperick, Faletau. Yeah, there you go.
And it's only a matter of time before Faletau is full firing and the number eight. Choice, and then you're back to picking between Tipperick or Warburton or Moriarty as the three, two from three flankers.
Is Faletau the biggest threat to Nathan? Not Nathan, he's Billy Vunipola
for the starting berth of Six Nations.
Or is that standard?
The way he played against New Zealand in New Zealand in the summer, oh man, he was immense.
Yeah, he was.
So, yes. Yes is the answer.
Stander as well.
Stander, bloody hell.
I would probably accommodate Stander at six, in all honesty, but...
What about the world of sixes, which have to be included?
Well, we've got very few actual sixes playing six. Mm-hmm. We had a Todgy and Warburton.
Hmm.
Anyway.
It just shows the strength. I think this Lions squad is going to be one of the... A generational great.
So... Hello?
Sorry. Someone's finally just put up a video of Jonathan Davies doing the computer from the England-Wales game for that try, which brings me joy. Sorry, I accidentally clicked on it.
Cock on the block time. Who wins this game? Scotland-Wales.
Wales.
For me, Wales by a score.
Wow.
By 3 to 5 points.
Do you think it's going to be Wales by a bigger kick?
Wales by a kick.
Yeah.
By bigger. Do you think it's going to be one of these bigger inspired?
I'm not going into that much detail.
I think it
You're fantasising about this, aren't you?
It's amazing when it happens. The guy has got less physical gifts than all the others, and yet he just produces. Okay. Ice runs through his veins.
Okay.
I want to see if he's toned down his kick celebration or if it's still the bigger Aina. So I hope it is by a bigger kick if it's going to be a kick that wins it for Wales. So at least I can see what that's looking like at the minute.
That's right.
2017 bigger Aina.
Exactly.
Right, final game, and this I think will be fascinating. Ireland host France.
So we've got to assume, haven't we, that France will be doing a lot of good work this week. This is the first Six Nations they've ever had where the French teams don't make their French players report back.
Yes.
Which is massive.
Guy Novès has had unfettered access to his players and probably more importantly, the players have not been put through the meat grinder of the top 14.
Exactly. Now, the question is, what would a French coach do with French players for a whole week? Do they have pâté and cheese and watch silent cinema and paint pictures?
Black coffee and cigarettes in a cafe.
Yeah.
Yes.
Or are they training? And it's unclear which they're doing.
I imagine there'll be a good balance. You got to, as the French say, it's... Gavin Mortimer said the French treat rugby like an art form.
Exactly.
Rather than the British and English-speaking world who see it more as a science. So there's probably a good, healthy mix of the two.
There has been progress in the French game. I think last year France would have lost that same game against Scotland.
Yeah.
But did they have enough to beat Ireland? Because that's a hell of a team.
Ireland in Ireland.
Yeah. No. No, they don't, is my answer.
So I think they have enough potential, but I don't think they have the team structure yet. So the game against England, they did some phenomenal things. There was some phenomenal bits of individual brilliance, mostly pick-em-alls in the back three. Yes. King Louis. But you didn't see the consistent, cohesive structure. And against Scotland, they kind of bludgeoned their way through with that enormous pack and injured everyone that Scotland had. So eventually they won. But there was cohesive brilliance again. Whereas Ireland have some individual brilliance, but they have that cohesive team.
Exactly. They are
they are set it as a team and playing in a strategy. They have a strategy and a game plan.
So, do you know what I think is going to be the most...
And they will nullify the biggest threat which France posed to Scotland. They will nullify that set-piece game. I mean, France are still massive, and it will be a massive physical test for Ireland, but they are much more able to cope with it.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that, Tim, because this is going to be the most interesting part of the entire game. Ireland had it all their own way against Italy, and let's be honest... Front row wise, everyone's had it their own way against Scotland, right?
Yeah.
So is this vaunted Irish front row, who everyone thinks pretty much is going to provide the two starting props for the Lions, or are they going to be, or at least two tourists?
They'll probably provide...
Two match day squad props.
Yep. Yes, and probably provide three or four or five tourists.
Well, this is going to be an incredible test for them.
Yeah.
Because if they can stand up to it, well, they're pretty much on the plane, because you will not get a bigger test than this.
So do you think they will, importantly?
I think Ireland will win. I'm less convinced that the front row will fare as well as they need to be automatically selected onto the plane. Tim?
Yes.
I think Ireland will win. I think the cohesion, as you've talked about, the back row will assert themselves for Ireland. It's interesting that the players that they've already released from the squad, likes of Van der Flier, are surplus to requirements at this stage, so that guys like that aren't going to be picked. That just shows the strength in depth they've got. They'll win via the front row, back row. And I think one big change for Ireland that they've had... That they haven't been able to say in years gone by is when Johnny Sexton's not about, Paddy Jackson is looking the part.
Exactly. Yeah, well said.
But Sexton is in the initial squad.
Is he?
He's not yet been cut from the squad, so we'll see on that.
What happens when Paddy Jackson goes down, or if he goes down? Who's the next guy up?
Carberry has been released from the squad as well.
I thought Carberry was injured.
Keatley was on the bench for certainly the first game, I assume the second game as well.
They're going right into their depth chart here, for want of a better word.
Yeah, Ian Keatley's still retained in the squad, and Joey Carberry has been released from the squad.
Right.
What do you think it'd take for Madigan to come back? And do you think Ronan O'Gara is ahead of Madigan in the pecking order?
Yeah, it'll be a coin toss. It'll be whoever...
Eric Elwood, get him back.
They'll do it like some kind of race. So it'll be like a Top Gear tour thing.
Exactly.
They'll both get a phone call at the same time, and you have to get from France to Dublin, and whoever gets to Joe Smith first gets the 10 shirt.
Perfect. I'm very much into that.
Love it.
Are we all saying Ireland?
Yeah, Ireland.
Ireland by
10. Score points.
10 points.
I think there's a couple of. I think the Irish wingers will be an interesting selection, and the guys, because I thought Tommy Bowe got brought in just because of what he's done in the past, and he didn't look that great.
Maybe, maybe.
He had a solid game this weekend.
I'm with you but on this, which is I struggle to believe that Burrell and Earls are the two best wingers in Ireland.
Well, Zeebo. But then, so is Carney injured?
Rob's in the squad. Luke Marshall's in the squad. Andrew Trimble, Simon Zeebo, Tommy Bowe.
So, yeah.
Be interesting to see what the selection is, but...
Very much so.
Because that Adam Byrne, is it? It's knocking on the door.
Yeah, he's a hell of a player. See, the Ireland team, because it's so mature, I don't mean the age of its players, as in like how they've developed as a squad. I don't think they necessarily pick the best 15 players.
So in individual players.
Exactly, yeah. So Adam Byrne is, in my mind, probably the most talented winger that they have. But is he the best for the team? Does he make him the best 15? And I think that's why you've still got Tommy Bowe in there, because he understands everything.
Yeah,
and I just one name I want to mention that's in the squad, like Ultan Dilan, is been left out, and Quinn Roo of Connacht,
is in
the squad.
Now Quinn Roo, that is the base sauce, isn't it, for pasta dishes?
Yes,
thought as much. I'm pretty sure we've covered off everything now. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, actually, one last thing.
Okay.
Quick, who am I?
Okay.
My mum is English.
Kennedy. No, she's an author. no, go on.
I won't.
Peak Teo.
Oh, I know.
Too late, Tim. That's exactly right. Peak Teo. Thanks, Tim. Thanks, Phil.
Thank you very much, JB.
See you next week, everyone.
Bye.
Later.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Before Shopify, were you wondering, where are my sales at? Now you're selling with Shopify, the global commerce platform supercharging your selling. You have no problem selling online, in person, on social media, and beyond. Gary, easy on the cha-ching.
Oh, sorry, but my Shopify sales are through the roof.
Start selling with Shopify today and discover how millions of businesses around the world use Shopify to ignite their selling. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/listen. Shopify.com/listen.